You mark your books in number 943. That will be the song following our lesson this morning. 943. Hope you received an outline when you came in along with the bulletin. You can follow along with the lesson that we'll present this morning. Titled it from the scripture that was read to us this morning in Romans chapter 12, beginning of verse 1. Verses 1 and 2, but I just put verse 1, it's even at the top of your notes. But Paul said at the beginning, I beseech you, brethren, or therefore, brethren. Anytime Paul uses that word beseech, it's almost like I'm going to say something significant, not that everything else isn't, but he says almost like sit up and take notice of what I'm about to say. Listen. It's important. So he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. In other words, because of what God has done for us, God being rich in mercy, and it's a plural, so all the mercies of God that he's given us, there's a response that we should make. And Paul mentions that in this verse. So I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you, that's all of us, it's God's people, Christians. So he said, this is what I want you to do. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Then he adds to it. That sacrifice, that's living, is to be holy, acceptable to God, and it's reasonable. Some might say, oh no, that's too much. No, it's reasonable service. Some translations use the words, it's your spiritual worship. But it's reasonable. So we're going to talk about a living sacrifice. I just put five things for you to consider this morning as what is suggested for reasonable service or a living sacrifice. Number one, we'll just talk about daily prayer. Number two, daily Bible study. Number three, daily evangelism. Number four, a daily exhortation. And then number five, daily cross-bearing. We're going to just, by way of introduction, just look at Old and New Testament. In the Old Testament, they had, and that's why I put the word daily sacrifices that the Levitical priesthood made. And under the New Testament, we see these obligations or exhortations for us to do something every day. There's a daily sacrifice that all of us should make. So let's kind of note that in our comments this morning. I think, first of all, in our everyday speech, you know, we hear expressions, or I should say we used to when I was a child, about everyday clothes. You know, I remember my dad had what they call work clothes. And now even in today's society, these are workout clothes. And as a child, mom would say, go put your play clothes on. You know, the ones you have on, don't get those dirty. We have play clothes. And then there might be, we sometimes would say, oh, it's Sunday clothes. But those are just expressions we used to have. So in similar fashion, some people view religion as a Sunday religion. You know, this is our clothes, or these clothes are for this. And some might think, oh, my religion is for Sunday. So we're going to kind of correct that this morning in our lesson. I'm not trying to discourage you from worship on Sunday or the Lord's Day. You know, I know the church did that, but I want to encourage you in this lesson to see that Christianity demands more from us than a Sunday go-to-meeting religion. Sometimes that's what people view it as. It's just my religion is just Sunday morning or Sunday religion. You see, under the Old Testament, I put these references in your notes. They had a daily sacrifice or daily service. It wasn't just a weekend event or a Sabbath event. You know, in Exodus 29, verse 38, the law said, this is that which you shall offer upon the altar. Two lambs of the first year, meaning a one-year-old lamb, day by day. And then gives it another word, continually. The one lamb you'll offer in the morning and the other offer at evening. So there was an obligation on God's people, or the Levites, who were the priests under the old law, to make daily sacrifices on behalf of the others, the other congregation of Israel. In Exodus 30, verse 7, Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. So there's an obligation under the old law for the Levitical priesthood to make sacrifices on behalf of the congregation of Israel every day. Now in the New Testament, by which we live, it's the same every Christian, since we are priests. We have an obligation to make a sacrifice every day. But it's not a lamb on a pillar or a burnt offering. See, under the New Testament, we are a congregation, or God's church is a people of priests. Where in the Old Testament, they had a congregation of Israel, but one tribe formed a priesthood that would offer sacrifices on behalf of the others. But in the New Testament, we are a congregation of priests. Sometimes I hear, even in the religious world, and rightly so, they'll use the phrase, the priesthood of all believers. That's right. We are a priesthood of all believers. If you're a believer, you're a member of the New Testament church, you're a Christian, you are a member of the New Testament priesthood. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, here's the phrases. Ye also, all right, that's all of us, as living stones, all right, we have to give a living sacrifice, we're living stones, you're built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So now we see a difference. In the New Testament, every one of us as Christians, we are the spiritual house. We are a holy priesthood. We don't make our sacrifices just through me or someone else or a few individuals. Every Christian is a priest, a member of the spiritual house, and there's an obligation to make spiritual sacrifices. And then there's that phrase, acceptable to God. We're not left on our own to decide what we want to sacrifice and what we don't want to sacrifice. God's determined that for us. But there's an obligation on the part of all of us. So you see, in Christianity, in our daily life, we're to present ourselves in service that's acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So I've suggested at least five ways that we can or may make that spiritual sacrifice, spiritual living to God on a daily basis. Number one, I put daily prayer. Now it was done that way in the Old Testament. I give you the example of David. In Psalm 55, verse 17, he said, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and God, or he, shall hear my voice. So David said, I'm going to give God daily sacrifice. I'm going to pray to God every day. Remember when Jesus taught his disciples to pray? The disciples said, Jesus, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. Yeah. So part of that prayer that Jesus gave as instructions to the disciples in teaching them to pray was, he said, give us this day our daily bread. So every day there's a need in your life and mine. And so as God's people, as disciples of Jesus, I'm going to ask God, I need you again today. God, help me today. Thank you for what you did yesterday, but now I need you again today. Daily prayer, part of my spiritual sacrifice. It should be acceptable to God. You know, so we, in Psalm 68, verse 19, the psalmist said, blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits or relief, the God of our salvation. So I know God is going to give me today what I need. And I want to go back and say, thank you, God, for giving me daily bread. I don't know the author of this poem, but it begins by saying, the place of prayer. So that's his introduction. The place of prayer is anywhere, beside a bed or bench or chair, out in the fields of ripened corn, or in the city streets at morn, washing dishes or hauling hay. God will listen if you pray. The place of prayer, it's everywhere. Second stanza says, the power of prayer is greater than the understanding of any man. It heals and blesses anyone who puts his faith in God's dear Son. For prayer will really help you win all the fighting with Satan, self, and sin. The power of prayer. The last stanza says, the peace of prayer. The peace of prayer is so complete, it brings joy and routs defeat. It strengthens patience and renews that spirit we must never lose. God heals the soul and takes the care from every heart that breathes in prayer. So daily prayer. Place of prayer is everywhere, anywhere you are during the day. The power of prayer, God can bless, God can give. The peace of prayer. Thank you, God. Thank you. So daily prayer is part of our spiritual sacrifice that we make. Second, I suggest daily Bible study. In the Old Testament, Moses, before he took the congregation of Israel, or Joshua did, into the promised land, he gathered all the congregation together and he gave them lots of instructions, but this is part of it. In Deuteronomy 6, beginning of verse 6, he says, these words which I command you today, so there's some commandments or charge, he says, these commandments shall be in your heart. Teach them diligently to your children. All right, how's that going to be done? Almost every day. So Moses gives the example. You'll talk of them when you sit in your house. You sit in your house every day? Yeah. Talk about God's commandments. When you walk by the way. When you lie down. When you rise up. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So there was a command or an obligation, even in the Old Testament, about God's commandments. Make sure that they're available every day. You've got a refresher course every day. It's our daily obligation. So in the New Testament, we have an example of that in Acts 17, verse 11. It says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, these Bereans that Paul and Silas are talking to. So these, the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that. All right, what caused Paul to say, I want to congratulate this nobility, this example? Bereans, more noble than those in Thessalonica. In that you receive the word with all readiness of mind, examining or searching the scriptures daily. There's our word. They search the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Paul admonished the brethren in Thessalonica when he wrote them a letter in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21. Prove all things. How are you going to do that? Searching the word of God. Even challenge me. Go and say, Brian, prove that, what you just said. And how am I going to prove it? By going to God's word and saying, see, here's what it says. What I just said, the word of God says. Prove all things. And if it's been proven in the word of God, hold fast to that which is true and good. You might, to do that for daily Bible study, you know, have some good books in your home. Some study books or daily devotionals, something like that. You can use the outline for the I hand out every Sunday with the lesson. I remember years ago, Don, when you and Bobby, when Bobby was alive, I remember Don telling me, you know, Brian, Bobby and I, for just a few minutes every day, we would just get together and take your notes from Sunday's worship assembly, and we'd just reread them or read the verses that came before or became after. And they were just in just a few minutes. Just take, let's read this point today, and tomorrow we'll take the next point in the outline, something like that. And take long, just read. But daily Bible reading. Interesting. Make the comparison for our education system. You know, our youngsters begin school, some like preschool, but kindergarten, then grades 1 through 12, so there's already 13 years. Then if they go to a trade school or community college, there's 2 more years. 13 and 2, there's 15 years. If they go to a 4-year college, add 2 to that, so another 17 years. If they go to graduate school after that for another couple of years, it could be 20 years in education, in worldly education, just to provide them for success in this life. You understand what I just said? How much time are you spending in reading God's word for success to get you to heaven? Look, how much time is spent for success in this life? I want you to be successful in Christianity, in daily living. So find time each day in some manner to read God's word. Don't be satisfied with just a few moments of Sunday Bible study or worship to fulfill your daily requirements of Bible study. Read God's word. Number 3, I put, what else can I do to give, be a living sacrifice and give worship to God that's acceptable? It's just daily evangelism. In Luke 19, it was said of Jesus, he was teaching daily in the temple. Oh, but the chief priests, the scribes, the leaders of the people sought to destroy him. Wasn't always successful, but he still preached the word. Preach the word. In Acts chapter 5, verse 42, concerning the New Testament church, every day in the temple and at home, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus as the Christ. Every day. There's some opportunity we may have just to share our faith. That's evangelism. Just share what you know about your faith, or how you became a Christian with somebody. Or just say, God has blessed me. Tell somebody how God's blessed you. Daily evangelism. It doesn't mean you have to stand and preach or stand up and teach a class. Just share your faith. Share your faith. That's evangelism, daily evangelism. Paul said in Acts 20, verse 31, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Yeah. Just give a warning. Daily evangelism. Number 4 is daily exhortation. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, that's the exact phrase. Exhort one another daily while it's called today. You see, there'll be times in your life and mine where we need to give an encouraging word to someone. I need to either share my faith, or I need to, someone's down and out and I need to lift them up. Or someone's disheartened and I need to brighten their day in some way. A daily exhortation. Let me encourage you in the faith today. You'll come, you can do that even on the Lord's Day. Come early and just share with one another. Or how are you doing today? What can I do to help you? How can I be of assistance? Just look out and get daily exhortation. If someone is having trouble with sin, just sound a warning. Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, we exhort you, brethren. All right, so Paul's exhorting the brethren. And he said, this is how I want you to exhort. Admonish the disorderly, but also encourage the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Be long-suffering toward all. Some things aren't quick to remedy. Some things just take time. But we need to be encouraging to one another, exhorting one another. Sometimes even admonishing one another. Yeah. In Galatians 6, verse 1, brethren, if someone, like a brother or sister in Christ, is overtaken in a trouble or a trespass, what are we going to do? He says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. Let's go exhort. But in a spirit of meekness. Why? Because we can be tempted. We need to look to ourselves. Yeah. So I'm going to come to you in a spirit of meekness, knowing that I may stumble and fall. But my purpose in coming to you is restoration, to bring you back into a right relationship with God. Daily exhortation. You'll find an opportunity. Could be with family, neighbors, or one another in the congregation. Make the phone call, write the card, make a visit. But there's someone. You can see the empty seats. Someone needs encouraging. They're not here today. We missed you. We missed you. You know, one reason we put a bulletin out in that prayerfully remember list is to give you an opportunity to find someone to minister to. Look out for one another. Let folks know you miss them when they're away. The last one I have, daily cross-bearing. Jesus said it in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. What's the word? Daily. Take up your cross daily. What's your spiritual service? What does spiritual living look like? Take up your cross daily and follow me, Jesus said. Matthew records it in Matthew 10, verse 37. He that takes not his cross and does not follow after me is not worthy of me. You see, daily sacrifice, daily cross-bearing proves your worth. In other words, the way to do that is let folks know on whose side you stand. Let folks know to whom you belong. Daily cross-bearing. You know, in the early New Testament church, it cost them, those Christians, to bear the cross every day. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. He said, we're pressed on every side, but we're not straitened. We're perplexed, but not under despair. We're pursued, but not forsaken. We're smitten down, but not destroyed. See, our faith in Christ has help from above, even when you're being pressed on each side. An interesting phrase Paul used too in Galatians 6, verse 17. He says, henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear branded on my body the marks of the master. Oh, we don't bear the marks of the master. We haven't suffered that kind of hardship or persecution. But the Apostle Paul did. But he still said, I'm going to take up my cross daily and follow him. We have a song in our book. It's number 319. And the title of the song are the words of the song. But it begins by saying, and it asks a question, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? And he answers it, no, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Yeah, cross for me. With all of these things in place, there's going to be some daily results. Bible says in Acts 2, verse 47, the Lord added to them or to the church daily. Daily, those who are being saved. In Acts 16, verse 5, it says, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. The way that we live our life has the ability to strengthen not only us, but one another. When I see the strength of your faith, I get strengthened. When I see you encourage one another, I get the attitude and says, I need to encourage someone too. When I see you overcome hardships, it says, if you can do it, I can too. You see that? The churches were strengthened in the faith and they increased in number. You and I have the ability to help each other, not just help each other, but to strengthen one another. And that just kind of keeps going. That domino effect. You help me and I'll help you. The last one concerning this daily sacrifice, living, spiritual living, living sacrifice. I don't know the author of the poem, but it says, you're writing a gospel, a chapter each day. You're writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds that you do and the words that you say. You're writing a gospel. You're preaching every day by the deeds that you do and the things that you say. Men read what you write, whether faulty or true. So say, what is the gospel according to you? We want spiritual living, daily living, daily sacrifice that's acceptable to God. So that's the lesson this morning. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing, we call it song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. It's a time that provides you an opportunity to think about your relationship to God. And if there's a change that needs to be made, you can accomplish that this morning. So we sing this song of encouragement, invitation to come to Jesus or come closer. So at the close of a lesson, if maybe someone here is not a member of the New Testament church, you're not a Christian. And Jesus' last words, when he said, this is what I want you to do, apostles. In Matthew chapter 28, beginning of verse 18, Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. How? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit by heavenly authority. And lo, I'm with, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And Mark records it in Mark 16, beginning of verse 15. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. So that's the invitation we extend to you, an opportunity to get right with God, to be on his side. So we're going to sing this song by way of exhortation, invitation. If you're subject to that, and that's your resolve this morning, just simply let it be known at the close of this song. So let's stand together. Dennis, make your way to the front here. We'll lead this song. It's hymn number 943.